Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. In the last broadcast, we were sharing with you how Jesus came into the priesthood. We saw the steps for ordination into the priesthood were the washing with water, the anointing with the anointing oil, and putting the blood from the ram of consecration upon the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right feet. We saw where John the Baptist, declaring the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that all the people came to be baptized to enter into the priesthood, knowing that the Messiah would manifest to bring forth the kingdom. Now, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, the righteousness of the laws commanded by God in Leviticus 8 to ordain Jesus to be the high priest of Israel. We saw that when Jesus was baptized, that was the first step. Then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that was the second step. The third step was the application of the blood to be shed from the ram of consecration. We're going to pick up from this point and go on today. Now, Jesus was a spotless lamb. He never sinned, remember? But to fulfill all righteousness, he had to, again, go through these steps to be ordained to be the high priest of Israel under the old covenant. So that means the blood had to be applied to Jesus' tip of his right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. Jesus was the ram of consecration. His own blood was shed and applied to himself when he went to the cross. His blood was first shed when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. What would that do? That caused the blood to run down upon the tip of his right ear. Then what happened? Then he was taken to be crucified and nailed to the cross. Where were the nails driven? Through his hands and his feet. What would happen? It would cause the blood to run down and be applied to the thumb of the right hand and the great toe of the right foot. Thus Jesus was washed, anointed, and had the blood applied to be ordained as the high priest of Israel in fulfillment of the righteousness of the law. Now remember this prophecy, Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, for all the children of Israel to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, could this happen under the old covenant? No, because only one tribe, the tribe of Levi, could be priests under the old covenant. That meant that for all the children of Israel to become priests, there had to be a change in the covenant and a change in the priesthood. Now, the change in the covenant was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, where it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Jeremiah prophesied that God would make a new covenant with the children of Israel. The new covenant would be made between God the Father and the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus brought about the new covenant after he fulfilled the old covenant. Remember, the fulfillment of the old covenant occurred through the cross. He was the spotless Lamb of God, offered on the altar of the cross by Caiaphas, the high priest in those days. And his sinless blood was shed as the final sacrifice of the old covenant to fulfill it. Remember, at the Last Supper, Jesus also declared that his blood was the blood of the New Testament. Not only was his blood shed for the remission of sins to fulfill the old covenant, but also it was the blood of a new covenant made between God the Father and the man Christ Jesus. So after his resurrection, what did he do? Remember, he took his blood up to heaven, poured it out on the mercy seat in the true tabernacle in heaven, ratifying the new covenant with his blood. So Jesus brought about the change from the old covenant to the new covenant. In making a new covenant, he also brought about other changes. There was a change in the priesthood and also in the order of the high priest. Remember, in the Old Testament, the priesthood came from the tribe of Levi only, and the high priest was after the order of Aaron, who was only a high priest. Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, but instead he was from the tribe of Judah. Now in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14, it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Since Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, how did he enter into the priesthood and become the high priest? The answer is that there had to be a change in the priesthood and the high priestly order. Well, how did this come into being? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith in another place in verse 6, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron. In verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now in verse 6 and 10, here's where we see Jesus was called of God to be a high priest forever after this order of Melchizedek, but verse 5 revealed that Jesus didn't glorify himself to be made a high priest, but instead God made him a high priest on the day that he had begotten Jesus. What's begotten mean? To be born. So God made Jesus the high priest after the order of Melchizedek on the day that Jesus was born. Now this reveals an important truth, because a birth was necessary for Jesus to enter into the priesthood and become the high priest of Israel after the order of Melchizedek. Now this is not talking about the day that he was physically born in Bethlehem. This is talking about the day he was born from the dead after dying on the cross. This is clear when you look on Hebrews chapter 7, where it talks about in verse 14, it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And then in verse 15, it's yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who's made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then in verse 24 it says, But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now this is saying the high priest rises after the similitude of Melchizedek, and he's made after the power of an endless life. Who's that? That's Jesus. His life continues forever, of course. He has an unchangeable priesthood in the New Testament. Now when did Jesus obtain an endless life? It's the day that he was begotten or born from the dead. Therefore, there was coming a change in the priesthood and in the order of the high priest. And how do you get into it? Entrance into it was by birth. That birth was spiritual birth. Not only was there a change in the priesthood, but there was also a change in how one was ordained into the priesthood. New ordination had to bring all the children of Israel into the kingdom of priests, remember, not just those of the tribe of Levi. The Levitical priesthood was for man physically born after the tribe of Levi under the imperfect Old Testament, where man was dealt with after the flesh with all its outward ordinances and applications. Remember, in the Old Testament, ordination was by the outward application of the washing, the anointing, and the blood. Now the new ordination was for man spiritually born into the spiritual priesthood under the perfect spiritual New Testament, where man was dealt with after the Spirit with inward ordinances and applications. So to be ordained into the New Testament priesthood, you had to be washed, anointed, and the blood applied spiritually and inwardly. Well, how's this happen? There had to be a new covenant, new priesthood, a new high priestly order, and a new birth into the new priesthood. And who could accomplish this? There's only one person, Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner for us. He entered in, having been made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:20 says that. He's the forerunner, is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, why was the order of Melchizedek important? Because Melchizedek was a king and a priest. Hebrews 7:1 says, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, shows that he was a king and a priest. And what did Jesus come to establish? His kingdom, but also become the high priest of the new covenant. Now, how was Jesus able to accomplish this? In Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. And then in Matthew 20, in verse 22, Jesus said, You know not what you ask, for are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said, We're able. And he said, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. So Jesus said they had a cup to drink, and a baptism to be baptized with. What was the cup of drink, by the way? It was the cup of death. Jesus had to go to the cross, be made sin with the sins of the world and all mankind. And on the cross, having been made sin, he died for all mankind. He experienced two deaths, a spiritual death and a physical death. Isaiah 53:9, where it says, He made his grave with the wicked and his rich in his death. The word death is plural. It should be translated deaths. Remember what death means, separation. doesn't mean cease to exist. When a person experiences physical death, his spirit and soul are separated from his physical body. The spirit and soul continue to live in a different place. The first death that Jesus experienced on the cross was spiritual death separated from the Father. That's why he said in Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now the act of God the Father, who is, of course, the source of spiritual life, separating and forsaking Jesus, showed that Jesus had experienced spiritual death. Remember, this is the same thing that happened to Adam on the day that he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He died that day. How? Spiritually, not physically, because he lived 930 years later and then died physically. So Jesus experienced a spiritual death. The second death was a physical death when he gave up his spirit on the cross. And that's, of course, when he then left his body and went down to hell for the 3 days and three nights. After paying the price for sin for the 3 days and three nights in fulfillment of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then what did Jesus do? He was raised from the dead. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who's the spirit of him? That's the spirit of God. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Where was he? In hell. How did this happen? It happened at the moment that he was born from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're born, you experience a birth. Jesus experienced a birth from death. What kind of a birth was it? He experienced a spiritual birth. It wasn't another physical birth. He got up and came up and got his physical body. He experienced a spiritual birth. The spiritual birth brought him back into relationship with the Father as a son. Remember Acts 13:33, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. In Hebrews 1:5-6, it says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. In Colossians 1:15, it says, he's the firstborn of every creature. In verse 18, the firstborn from the dead. In Romans 8:29, the firstborn among many brethren. Revelation 1:5, the first begotten of the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead while in hell by being spiritually born from spiritual death, being brought back into sonship with God the Father. When he was spiritually born from the dead, he became the firstborn of every creature and the head of the true church, which is the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Remember that Jesus said he had a baptism to be baptized with in Matthew 20. That baptism was a baptism of death in which Jesus was immersed, submerged, and engulfed in death for 3 days and three nights in hell. Then he was immersed, submerged, and engulfed by the Holy Spirit to be born from spiritual death unto spiritual life. This immersing, submerging, engulfing by the Holy Spirit was actually Jesus himself being baptized by the Holy Spirit, experiencing a spiritual birth from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Therefore, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from spiritual death unto spiritual life, and this happened by a spiritual birth. The Spirit which Jesus had after being forsaken by the Father when he was made sin on the cross and engulfed in spiritual death was removed, and a new Spirit came unto him that he might be the firstborn of every creature, the firstborn among many future brethren, and the head of the true church of the firstborn. And in doing so, he came into the priesthood and was born as the high priest of the new covenant. Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to talk more on this subject in the next broadcast. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.